May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. By show of hands, how many of you have seen the movie Patton? It is one of my favorite films, and it's hard to believe that film and I are contemporaries. We both turned 48 this year. It's an incredible movie, and in my opinion, I think it's one of, if not the finest, performance of George C. Scott's career. Now, I also think he shines as Ebenezer Scrooge in his version of A Christmas Carol, but that's a different story for a different season. In the opening sequence of the film, Patton is shown giving a speech to the troops of the Third Army. He's trying to motivate them and inspire them, and even reassure them in advance of the conflict and what they're about to engage in Europe. And in the midst of his remarks, Patton says this: Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Loving a winner and not tolerating a loser. This line came to mind as I was reading the passage from the Gospel of Mark earlier this week. Let me explain why. As we all know, this scene from the Gospel takes place in the shadow of an oppressive regime, a time of difficult rule by the Romans and their allies in the political and religious realm of Israel. It had been nearly 100 years since the armies of Pompey had conquered Jerusalem and had subjugated Palestine to Roman rule. The Jewish people were crying out for a Messiah, someone to drive out the invaders and restore their independence. In the context of this line from Patton, Israel desperately wanted a winner and was quite tired of losing. Now, in this man, Jesus, who they were following, the 12 thought they had finally found the one who would fulfill that promise. Here, they thought, is the winner that will bring all of our people's suffering to an end. Peter was certainly quite firm in his belief of Jesus, answering him quickly when asked about his identity by saying, "You are the Messiah." But then in the very next instant, everything changed. This man who Peter had just declared through his faith to be the Messiah now was quite unexpectedly telling them that he would face torture, rejection, and death. The very one whom many were expecting to help win the race against oppression was instead sharing a vision that seemed to point to anything but victory. The message of hope certainly seemed to be coming off the rails. Now, Peter, of course, reacted to this based on instinct rather than vision, and he began to rebuke Jesus. How in the world do you think that looked? Jesus being rebuked by a disciple. Now, we know in the parallel version of this narrative in the Gospel of Matthew, Peter says, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." He doesn't say anything here. Maybe he said the same thing. Maybe he said something more severe and perhaps even more insubordinate. And I can even picture Peter in his well-meaning but flawed intention, wagging his finger in the face of Jesus. And I can certainly picture the other 11 and anybody else that was standing in earshot, cringing at the scene, wondering to themselves, what is Peter doing? But all we do know is that he quickly went from praise to criticism, and the subsequent rebuke from Jesus was even swifter. Now, on one hand, some may be inclined to think that none of this ever needed to happen. Peter didn't have to make the mistake that he did when he stopped listening to Jesus' words before the full message had even taken root. All he heard was that Jesus would be rejected and would die. What he missed is that Jesus said he would rise again. Had this wonderfully impetuous and emotional disciple been able to keep focus for just one more moment, he would have heard everything Jesus had to say. But that isn't what happened. And because Peter jumped the gun, we have this wonderful lesson from which to learn. And I think the lesson is this. In whatever situation we find ourselves, in whatever sense of sorrow or hopelessness we may be feeling, whatever fear or anxiety has taken root, those moments are not the end of the story. You can go back through any narrative in the Old or the New Testament and get to a certain point where in each instance everything should have ended. And then you can reflect on the fact that these stories went on. Abraham was instructed to take Isaac and offer his son as a sacrifice to God. What if he had not stopped to listen to the heavenly voice telling him to put the knife down? Moses had fled Egypt, a prince outcast for raising his hand against the violence of an Egyptian taskmaster. What if he had not stopped to listen to the voice calling to him out of the burning bush? What if Mary had not listened to all the words of the archangel at the Annunciation? Or if Joseph had only paid attention to part of his dream that was the warning he received from God before the birth of Christ? In each of these instances, and in many others, the stories of these men and women had not ended, and they knew their journeys would continue in a remarkable direction because they heard all that God had told them. And even though Peter didn't even hear everything Jesus was trying to tell him on this day in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and despite missing the important end in much of what Jesus shared during his earthly ministry, he eventually learned to wait until he heard everything. Peter, this flawed disciple, this imperfect friend on whom the entire church one day would be built, quit stopping in the middle and began listening to the end. The great New York Yankees catcher and part-time philosopher, Yogi Berra, got ribbed many times in his life for some of the wacky things that he said. Hardly the most elegant of speakers, many of his four famous sayings were based on a sort of folksy interpretation simply of the things that he saw going on in the world around him. One of his most famous, and one which I'm sure all of you have heard many times, is that it ain't over till it's over. It's a line that, while certainly silly on the surface, will most definitely preach. It's a line that's incredibly significant. And it's a line, admittedly, that I think would have fit perfectly in today's passage from Mark. I can easily hear Jesus adding it on as a postscript to his rebuke of Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And besides, it ain't over till it's over. We shouldn't allow ourselves to get fully bogged down in the difficulties we experience. As hard as that is, we shouldn't. As difficult as it may seem, we shouldn't allow ourselves to get stuck in the mire of the difficult moments. We should do what Peter did not take time to do. Allow hope to sink in and remember that there is more to the story than we're seeing at any given moment. And we must always, always listen to the end. Amen.